This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother stone. You better learn your past, you better learn your young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Jews and Organ Transplants Part 2. I talked the last time mainly about Jewish attitudes and the differences, the way that Jews distinguish themselves when it comes to organ transplantation and organ donorship. This time I'm going to get into another aspect that I alluded to, but in more detail, and we're going to dedicate this installment mainly to talking about organ trafficking. And it begins, the story here begins with an article that I actually found in and referred to at the end of my second installment on organ race and organ transplantation. And it was titled Transplantation, the Organ Gap and Race. And this is the PDF that was the first part of it I did refer to. Was the one that suggested a checkbox for blacks to only give their organs to other blacks. And I remarked on that in the last installment, too. So it's been – this is the third installment. Now I'm going to refer to that. But this time, the reason I mention it is just to jog your memory again about this particular article. And I've come to the conclusion – I didn't realize this at first, but I realize it now. You know, it was a real tricky – article, because it comes off by the title and everything and by the arguments that it makes, you think that it's talking about racial disparities and unfairness in donorship and need, and specifically arguing, you know, with a bleeding heart in favor of blacks and how the system should be changed in order to benefit blacks. And what it really turns out to be, and I did allude to this when I first mentioned it, was it's about morality. It talks, or at least it makes an argument that dresses itself up in morality. It's not really morality, and I'll get into that. But it really turns into money. Its conclusion and what it's arguing in favor of is that organ donorship, financial compensation for organ donorship, should be legalized. And you know, I spoke the last time about that light bulb going off in my head. Well, a little bit. The light bulb kind of flickered right there. I thought to myself, money. I'll bet, you know, there's something else going on here, and I'm a little slow, but yes, there is something going on with this, and I think that this article makes a great segue into discussing organ trafficking. But let me talk a bit about the dishonest argument that it makes, and I urge you to read the parts that I'm going to copy and paste into my program post. I'm not going to read them all here. I want to point out that, you know, basically it talks about organ donorship. And, you know, prostitution is basically selling your body, you're selling an organ of your body, your sex organ, renting it, you know, not permanently selling it. Whereas organ transplantation for money is about selling your organ permanently. You're taking it out of your body and it's being put in somebody else's body. You're not getting it back. So it's no surprise, really, that people, by that standard, using that as an analogy, if people, and most people do, consider prostitution to be something immoral and unethical, you know, despite the fact that it's the world's oldest profession, then, of course, trafficking in human organs for money has a similar cloud, you know, a worse cloud over it morally and ethically. But this article poo-poos that. It basically makes the argument that the rationale behind the prohibition of financial rewards for kidney donors is that it's morally outrageous and therefore intolerable to pay people. and that nearly all of us react to the idea of paying for organs with a feeling of repugnance. And it tries to say that it's basically an emotional reaction rather than being based on reason. And they're going to argue a reasonable argument and point out how the moral argument is really flawed and weak. And then they go into the argument, which is actually an emotional argument. And it's based on a benefit to blacks that I've already outlined, but it says the effect of the prohibition has been disproportionately adverse on poor minorities. And prohibiting the sale of the organs reduces special incentives for poor people to donate. Now, this is where I got a bit of a hint that this is not really what this is about. It's using blacks as a shield to actually argue in favor of legalizing organ transplants. Now, why is it trying to legalize organ transplants? Because of the Jews. That's, you know, reading between the lines, putting the puzzle pieces together, that's my conclusion from reading this. That's why these sentences are so awkwardly phrased. Prohibiting the sale of organs reduces special incentives for poor people to donate. No, it doesn't. It allowing the sale of organs would add incentives for poor people to donate. They're trying to invert it as if it's some sort of injustice by treating everybody equally and forbidding the sale by anybody, that somehow this is unfair to blacks. If it's unfair to everyone. They're making a special argument about blacks, and they're doing it on an emotional basis. You know, the usual, as I pointed out when I talked about morality in a much earlier installment, the usual sense of morality, and we're usually taken advantage of by our misunderstanding in this, is we white people think of it in universalist terms. And that's the sense that we don't want organs to be sold by anybody, to anybody. It applies equally to everybody. And this argument, this paper actually tries to make the argument using blacks in an emotional sense, that it would be good for the poor blacks if we could let them sell their organs. So it's a bit of sleight of hand. Now, this is where I'm going to introduce the story that I referred to earlier that happened in 2009. And this woman named, she figures large in this story, Nancy Shepper Hughes is her name. And she's a professor of anthropology and a director of the program in medical anthropology at the University of California at Berkeley. As far as I can tell, she's not Jewish. I think she's part Czech and part German, but a real liberal, you know, being an anthropologist and all. But she's also been kind of a pit bull about tracking down this human or organ transplantation, organ trafficking. And you'll find her name in just about all of it. And it describes in her wiki page, her wiki biography, that this event in 2009 where the FBI finally arrested a bunch of Jews. And here's how it describes. In the 2000s, Shepper Hughes investigated an international ring of organ sellers based in New York, New Jersey, and Israel. She interviewed several hundred third world organ donors and reported that they all felt that they had been taken advantage of. They were often left sick, unable to work, and unable to get medical care. So this is some of the consequences to the people who donate organs. This is how they've been defrauded. Basically, they were told that it would be perfectly okay. You know, you don't need that extra kidney. You got two after all. And it's the reality is of course this is like the race and fraud series that I did. You know, it's a flat out lie that you're going to be okay after you donate your kidney. There's all sorts of complications that come from it. And the quality of your life and the length of your life is probably going to be shortened by doing it. And they tell you the exact opposite, defraud you. Well, anyway, these people she discovered were tricked into donating organs, and a lot of them were threatened at gunpoint by this Jewish middleman that had arranged for these transactions to take place. And some of the transplants took place at major New York City hospitals and around the world. When the events became public, she said that much of the world's illicit traffic in kidneys could be traced to Israel. And it's one of those infamous wiki things that says citation needed. Apparently, there's no direct quote of her saying that. In a 2008 lecture, though, she's reported as identifying the two motivations of Israeli traffickers as, quote-unquote, greed and, quote, revenge restitution reparation for the Holocaust. She is reported as describing speaking with Israeli brokers who told her, quote, "It's kind of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We're going to get every single kidney and liver and heart that we can. The world owes it to us." So there's that aspect to this, that the people were defrauded, and also that this kind of nasty aspect of the Jews that I hadn't really seen documented anywhere else. Two aspects of the Jewish thing. First of all, that this organ trafficking thing is a Jewish enterprise, that they're the ones at the center of it. And that's a difficult – I'm giving you my conclusion here. That's a difficult thing to determine, because other than this one fairly clear statement of it, there aren't very many clear statements of that. You have to piece it together yourself, and usually by reading between the lines and putting the puzzle together yourself. But I'll give you some of the pieces that I am relying on in saying this. And a lot of it touches on this work of Nancy Shepherd Hughes. And the other aspect of the Jewish part of this is that it's nasty. I mean, it's for profit, yes, but it's also for revenge. That there's a sense of that in it. So there's an article that she wrote back in 2006, and so she did this work in the early 2000s. It turns out she turned in this the guy who was eventually arrested by the FBI for it in 2009. She had told the FBI about it in 2002. In 2006, so between the time when she told the FBI and the FBI arrested him, she wrote this article titled "Kidney Kin: Inside the Transatlantic Transplant Trade," and it was a little bit cryptic. I blame her here for not being more explicit, as the wiki biography of her put it pretty plainly. In this article of hers, where she's the one writing it, she danced around it. The first thing she did was she wrapped it, the story about organ trafficking, which is all about Israelis or Jews, really, as in a personal interest story. She made fictional names for the people that she was going to tell the story about, and then she was going to try and personalize the story. That's what I mean by a personal interest story. She threw in all of these made-up details about the people, and it's hard to tell what the made-up details are and what the reality is. And there's some discrepancies, though, in this story. If you read closely, you can see that the woman who is going for the transplant is a New Yorker. She describes her explicitly as being black and on Medicaid, but elsewhere in the article, talking about a police detective, talking about the facts of the case, apparently she missed this, but he describes her as being a wealthy woman from New York. Doesn't mention her race, but describes her as wealthy. So there's a discrepancy there, and I'm reading between the lines a little bit here to assume that wealthy New Yorker is sort of code for she's a Jewish lady. But whether she is or not isn't really all that critical, because the other pieces of the puzzle here are definitely Jewish. The people, the beneficiaries of the donorship, don't necessarily have to be Jewish. I'm willing to believe that they're more likely to be Jewish because the other pieces in the puzzle are Jewish. So anyway, she describes this woman, Lucille, and she describes how she finds a donor, or finds a through broker who is Israeli, a donor in Brazil. And this guy's name is Alberti, if that's his real name, I don't know. But it says pretty directly here that the broker that Alberti talked to is this Gedalia Tauber, a retired 67-year-old Israeli Defense Force policeman. And on learning that Brazilians would donate to Israeli patients, Alberti asked, "Can it work that way?" And then some nephew of this retired policeman assured him that there would be no problem because, quote, "under the skin, all men are brothers." And that made me think of the Brotherhood of Man video short that was based on the races of mankind and that basic fraud about race that, yeah, we're all the same under the skin. There's no differences, nothing to worry about here. Sure, you should give up your kidney. You don't need it anyway. You're going to get lots of money for it. Well, anyway, it's later on, as I said in the article, this Brazilian policeman who's talking about the details of the case mentions that how the doctors are complicit in this, and he says, "Do you really think that the transplant surgeons really believed that a poor Brazilian was related to a wealthy New Yorker?" So there's a couple of slips here in this description where you can see peeking through it, the Jews underneath it, this business about learning that Brazilians would donate to Israeli patients, that Alberti is learning this, and Alberti is the one who gave his organ to Lucille from New York, who's supposedly not a Jew. You know, she tried to dress it up, this anthropologist, as if it wasn't a Jew. But, you know, it's the signs are here that it's Jews throughout the whole thing. Another story, I'll probably mention this again if I have time, but there's another story just which drives home this point that I'm making here, that it's Jews whose fingerprints are all over this organ transplant or organ trafficking industry or, you know, mafia. And the other aspect of it is that people don't say that plainly. They dance around it. And here I'll cite an article from Der Spiegel, which is a German sort of like Time magazine, I guess, a German magazine. And it's in English, though, and it's a confusing article. It's 4 pages long on the internet. And you have to read the thing several times very closely to figure this out. I'm going to try and lay it out here, what's going on. It describes, again, it's this, you know, the story about the Jewish involvement is cloaked. It's cloaked as Israelis. It's cloaked as multinational, international. I didn't mention that aspect of the other story, but that's a similar element here in this one too. And it's wrapped in a personal interest story by getting into these ridiculous personal details of these fake people, these fake details of these people. They don't provide the name of the German who's our participant. They call him Walter, and they don't reveal his last name. But they describe him as a businessman from Western German state of North Rhine. They don't say he's a German. That's one hint that he's maybe not a German, maybe he's a Jew living in Germany. But anyway, they do identify Vera Shvedko as a hotel maid from Israel. And in a way, they try to represent it as the poor Israeli is being exploited here because she's the one who's donating her organ. She, though, emigrated from Moscow only a few months earlier. And you look at the picture of her, she doesn't have a typical Semitic looking Jewish face. If I had to guess, I would say she was a Germanic looking woman from Russia. But I don't know. Again, the donor and the recipient, the fact that they are or aren't Jews, I don't think that that's as important as the fact that the doctors in large part are, and the middlemen who are arranging this are, and the people who write about this are dancing around the fact that Jews are involved at all. And I mean, they admit it, but it's in a very cloaked way. So and this story is very confusing. It actually is sort of several different stories. It's not just about this Walter and Vera, donor and recipient. It goes into they're only one part of a larger thing that involves this Canadian prosecutor who named Jonathan Rattel, who went to Kosovo in 2010 to help with their setting up some court system. And it wasn't long before he got involved in this illegal activities of organ traffickers at what's called the Medicus Clinic. And the middleman was from Israel. It states that pretty clearly, but it isn't until page, that's on page one. It mentions that the middleman was from Israel and that the buyers of the organs were from all over the world. And the surgeon referred to in the press as Dr. Frankenstein was from Turkey. And, you know, warning bells are already going off in my head. You know, they say where these people are from as countries. You know, they don't get into who these people are. How do they know each other? What connection is there between this Israeli middleman, who's probably not a Palestinian, and this Dr. Frankenstein from Turkey? You know, how do these people find each other? Why do they trust each other doing something illegal? And my guess, of course, reading between the lines, is that they're actually Jews. Maybe the Turkish guy is a crypto Jew, Donmay or something. That's my guess. Let's see. On page two, it talks about the world of organ trafficking revolves around a simple scheme. There are importing and exporting nations. Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United States, and Canada are examples of the former, while China, India, and the Philippines, Egypt, and Moldova are exporting nations. So right there it identifies pretty clearly Israel. It actually lists it first as being one of the examples of the importing nations for organs. Okay, despite the surface appearance of this story about being about poor Vera, the Israeli maid who's giving up her organ. It mentions here this element of side effects that, you know, the people giving up their organs, it says flat out that the truth is that organ removal is very dangerous. But the suppliers of the organs, on the other hand, it talks about how the suppliers of the organs can't expect to see a doctor. The ones who get the organs, usually they're from the first world, they go back and they get these doctors that will take care of them. But the others usually are poor and come from a poor area and don't have good health care. And, you know, what happens to them, who cares, is the general attitude. Almost all donors reported, and this was based on the work of this anthropologist that in trying to find them, that they reported that their health declined considerably after the risky procedure. Page 3 talks about it being a kidney for money deal. That's actually the title of the section. It talks about four strange incidents involving presumed organ trafficking that were brought to light in Germany in 2002. The first case, a kidney from a young Moldovan man, was transplanted into a retiree from Israel at a hospital in eastern German city of Jena. So this gives you an indication that when they tell you where these things happen, that really doesn't tell you much about the identities of the people who are participating. Here it's clear. And it actually admits that the fourth such case in which an Israeli received an organ from a young Eastern European, quote-unquote, relative, is what finally, you know, kind of broke the scandal. And they break this up over two paragraphs where you have it's very difficult to put this stuff together. I'm spelling it out. I'm connecting the dots for you in describing this. But you can see for yourself when I put the excerpts that I'll copy and paste into my program post how difficult it is to pull this information out. On the fourth page, they talk about this the difficulty that this Rattel prosecutor has in his investigation. And he goes to court, and it was a farcical scene in the courtroom because there were people talking. There was apparently there's more hints here that it's Israelis involved because there's talk about Israel. There's somebody shouting shalom in the court, and it talks about how it's a farce and how the presiding judge had no intention of intervening. So the judge, seeing that a bunch of Jews are involved, really doesn't want to press the case. And they talk about that. That's a recurring theme in these things, that the law enforcement is not all that interested in pursuing this, these stories. Let's see. It talks about this article talks about the doctor that's wanted being this Turk, supposedly, or this man who lives in Turkey, Yusuf Sonmez. And that actually is reminiscent with the O umlaut in his name. It's reminiscent of the Don May, if I'm pronouncing that right, which has an O umlaut as well. Those are the crypto Jews, a large crypto Jewish community in Turkey. And it mentions how the Israeli middleman that worked with him, that collaborated with him, Moshe Harel, actually lives in Israel, but he has both Turkish and Israeli citizenship. So he's got some sort of connections probably with the Turkish Jewish community, and that's how that connection got formed. Anyway, I'm not just trying to make this one incident about all of it. That means all of organ trafficking is about Jews. This is the recurring theme, that it's this story, it's the previous story about the guy in Brooklyn, the rabbi in Brooklyn who was arrested. It's like the tip of an iceberg, and the iceberg, you can't find it spelled out anywhere. The 2009 incident in Brooklyn was I'll put a link to Operation Bidrig, because it was involved with it was only part, and as I said, it was 7 years after the anthropologist brought this trafficker to the attention of the FBI. 7 years later, they finally arrested him, and they arrested him with a bunch of other people, this real estate developer that was bribing mayors of various New Jersey towns, and there was money laundering going on, and there was counterfeit purses and other merchandise, and it was all a big mess. You know, it was almost as if they deliberately sort of made this big confusion. It was a big bust. Lots of people were arrested, and yet it was very difficult to understand. What is the sense here? What's the connection? Well, the connection was this very insular Syrian Jewish community with connections to Israel. And it was this close-knit nature of this Jewish community, the fact that they wouldn't snitch on each other, that was, you know, one of the – that's how they got away with it for so long. Anyway, there's a lot of details about that story I'm going to skip over here, and I'll just provide the links for in my program post. Nancy Shepper Hughes has given a couple of interviews about this incident, and as I said, she's sort of at the center of it. She's like the Sherlock Holmes or something that has really made a name for herself on this issue. She wrote a press release as part of her organization, Organ Watch, that claimed that there are 15,000 kidneys are trafficked each year, and I guess that means worldwide. The top transplant surgeons are, and in her press release, she wrote this, top transplant surgeons are collaborating with criminal organ trafficking networks to target the desperate. It involves people at the highest level of their profession. And I think to myself, well, you know, Jews are way overrepresented as doctors. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if a lot of these doctors that are collaborating with these unethical mafia middlemen are Jews. And this is why Jews are driving, leading the charge, lobbying, arguing that it should be legalized. It's all upside for them. That means they'd still be able to do what they do, and they'd be able to make money at it, and it would all be legal. And in fact, I'll link here an article about how Arlen Specter, the former – he's dead now, but he was a Jewish senator in the U.S., where it really – it talks about how he was in the middle of trying to pass legislation to legalize a compensation, not financial compensation, but other types of compensation for organ donorship, and how this bust in 2009 really complicated the issue. And a couple of choice comments here that the in his bill, his proposed language in the bill cited Israel as a model of a country that had enacted a law providing benefits for organ donors. Israel as a model when it was actually, you know, to protect Israelis and Jews in general, and the illegality of what they were doing by legalizing what they're doing, which is behind this. Let's see. I'm out of time, so let me just jump to my conclusion here about this whole these two installments together. Let's connect the dots here. At one point, the anthropologist talked about how she used her ethnographic skills to connect the dots and find this. The Jew that was at the center of this trafficking ring. Jews are into this organ trafficking up to their eyeballs, and it's because Jews are overrepresented among doctors. It's because Jews need more organs than they donate. It's because money. It's because it's profitable. They get away with it, at least to a certain extent, and it's because of fear of the Jews. It's because of Jewish media control, although you do find a more honest presentation of the facts in media aimed at Jews. They want to see it legalized. And they're making moves in that direction. They want to write, they're writing articles and making arguments based on moralizing a red flag of Jews and rationalizing it. And they're lobbying for legislation to change, to legalize it. Then there wouldn't be any more embarrassment. It would be good for the Jews.